Let us all take this special time before we hear the preaching of the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. Let's pray together. O Heavenly Father, the reading and the hearing of the preaching of your Word, may we not take it as something light, but may we take it as the very word of the God who created all things and has created us and placed us here on this earth, your earth, O Lord, but not only left us, but restored us, redeemed us. And so, because of all of that, coming to the light and life of the word of you, O God, we pray that we would count it as precious in your sight, the very word you've given us, not leaving us as orphans. May we be as Thomas, who saw the Lord himself placing his finger in his side and saying, "My Lord and my God." So we pray, O Lord, that we would be that very person, trusting by faith in all that you've said and declared in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. And our brother Paul will read the word of God.
The reading from God's Word today is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, the fifth chapter of the 1 Peter, verse 1 to verse 7. Let's listen to the words carefully. To our great God. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen.
In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman into the human family. And God came near. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And when Jesus ministered the word of life and the gospel, he went about preaching the kingdom to come. And the closing verses of Matthew 9 talk about this. Jesus went out to all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And while he's doing that, he's also healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But as he sees the people, He was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like a sheep having no shepherd. And so he called for laborers to go forth into the harvest. Jesus viewed them in his generation as sheep without a shepherd. And so he says, I'm going to gather my flock. And in the passage from 1 Peter chapter 5, God's given the gift of elders and overseers to shepherd the flock of God. I don't know if you've ever felt like you needed a shepherd. I remember one of the times when I was a child going to swimming lessons at the local swimming pool. My brother was 7, I was 5, and we had our lessons. And we were supposed to wait for our mother, who had gone back home. And I think we were waiting in the wrong place outside the swimming pool. But our mother finally came, and she didn't see us. And she told us later, she said, I thought you went home with some other mom. Some of the mom was going to take you. So as a 5-year-old, I had this most dramatic sinking feeling right here in my heart as I saw the family car getting smaller and smaller, going away from us down the street. And it was small town America, maybe town of 5,000. Town wasn't that big, but we just felt helpless and hopeless, like lost sheep there as that car. And we were yelling, Mom, come back. And she disappeared out of sight. I think that was my first experience of just feeling all alone in the world. And even though it was, you know, nothing major when you look back on it now, small town, we're pretty safe there. But we needed somebody to care for us, to lead us, provide for us. And I never felt it more strongly than that time when my heart sank. Looking at this passage from 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 2. You've got this picture of the flock in verse 2. And their pastors and overseers are supposed to feed the flock, shepherd the flock. And then it's repeated in verse 3. These leaders are supposed to be not lords, but examples of the flock. And so here we are, a flock among many little flocks, but we all make up the one large flock that Jesus has called us into. And so we're gathered, and part of that is in response to Jesus' request saying, let's pray for more harvesters to go into the harvest because the fields are white unto harvest. And so God has given you a pastor and elders here at this flock. It's interesting from when Jesus teaches about being the good shepherd. And that's found in John 10. Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. Verse 11 of John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he saw the need. They were scattered. And no one to feed them or guide them, protect them. And so he'll give his life for in a life of shepherding. But more than that, the shepherd will actually lay down his life in defending against wolves and against the false shepherds. But there's something wonderful here. He says in verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them I must also bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You and I are the other sheep that Jesus is calling to join the large flock headed toward heaven, headed toward the sheepfold where we'll be safe forever in glory. So he had his historic sheep, children of Abraham, and now we have been called to be part of that larger flock as adopted children of Abraham, following the teaching of Romans chapter 4. And so there's something wonderful there, but these sheep, like you and I, we've heard his voice. And when he calls, verse 3 of chapter 10 says that he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And it's not just Okay, sheep were going out of the fold, but it's not just sheep number one, number two, number three. I see your ear tag with sheep number two on you. It's very personal. When Jesus saw the sheep that were scattered, he had compassion upon them. And he knows us by name. And he expresses that by calling us and being personal and intimate with us, calling us by name, and then calling us into his fold and doing it by sacrificing himself for the sheep. In that day, it was supposed to be the sheep that was put upon the altar, and the sheep were sacrificed for the sins of the people. But Jesus, was, as the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep so that John the Baptist can say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so Peter often was trying to give advice to Jesus, and now he's been chastened since that time. Jesus went to the cross. He said, "I'll never deny you, Jesus." Chastened. And Jesus comes to Peter after the resurrection and meets him on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And Peter, we need to talk. And he says, "Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. You be a shepherd now." But he calls Jesus the chief shepherd here in verse 4. Peter is called to do some shepherding of his own, to leave his fishing nets behind. But he says Jesus is the chief shepherd. Verse 4. And how can Jesus be the chief shepherd? Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 25, "You were like sheep going astray." Jesus saw that. Jesus emphasized that to us. If these sheep are scattered, they need shepherds. "You were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And that's the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who laid down his life so that he might win a people for himself, a people that were promised by the Father, from whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And that's why he and he alone must be called the chief shepherd. So we don't agree with other church bodies that say, "Well, you know, I am the Archbishop of Canterbury, and so under the monarch of England, the monarch's the head of the church, but I'm the chief shepherd of the flock, and then I have bishops underneath me." And we don't agree with other bodies that say, "Well, I'm the chief bishop of this denomination, or I'm the pope, and I am the sole leader." And that's not the way the Bible presents the picture, is that the flock is underneath the chief shepherd, and he's going to appear, and he's going to give rewards to the sheep that have followed him, and the rewards will be a glory that does not fade away. Be a timeless, unending, glorious glory, because we'll be in the presence of our glorious Maker and Redeemer. Christ is the chief shepherd. And he's not a hog feeder. He's not a cattle driver driving cattle. But the shepherd goes in front of the flock to lead them as an example. These are the steps, walk ye in it. So that's what the under shepherd will say. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, you were called, verse 21 of chapter 2, "To this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." You know, it's okay to take heat as a Christian. It's okay to take opposition, because we are countercultural. We're on the path to life. And if you're not on the path to life, you're on the other path. There's only one broad way, and that broad way does not have a happy ending. And so we follow our good shepherd, and he calls us by name, and he doesn't drive us. But he says, you follow my example. Even as Christ suffered for the sheep, we can take some opposition and even pain. And if need be, we can lose our life for the chief shepherd, because he laid down his life for us to give us eternal life. And so, remember that verse 7 of chapter 5? Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. No other shepherd like that would care for your souls. No human shepherd, no mere man, no mere mother, but the divine Savior is the chief shepherd who cares for our souls. And so he says, cast your cares upon me. I know all about your current need, and I want you to pray and say, I want you to lay those burdens on me. Jesus says, I know about them, but you lay those burdens upon me. And then Jesus calls all of us sheep to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ as we bear one another's burdens and pray for one another, even if we can't lighten a burden or a need. What a wonderful chief shepherd, which he proved to be the chief shepherd by laying down his life for us. And that's 1 Peter 2:25. So, to care for the flock, in these verses, opening verses of chapter 5, Jesus has appointed elders to shepherd the flock. So there, some shepherds particularly are gathering, some may be church planters, some may be missionaries, to gather the flock. And then, if they're gifted at that, they go and they plant another church, but otherwise, they gather a church and then they shepherd that church. The direction for these shepherds, these under-shepherds, coming back to chapter 5, is that they are to shepherd or feed in green pastures, feed the Word of God, serving as overseers. An overseer is somebody who's vigilant, looking. It doesn't mean he's up like a sheepdog up on the cliff looking down on the sheep in the river valley, but it means that he's always vigilant, always looking, lest one of the sheep would stray. And it's a wonderful thing that we're meant to be in flocks, and we're meant to have overseers. But a sheep out in the world by itself is vulnerable. If you claim to be a sheep of Christ and say, I don't need church, I don't need a congregation, because I don't want to be accountable. I don't want to have somebody looking over my life, then that sheep is in danger and at risk. We need the warmth of the flock, and we need the vigilance and the care of the other sheep to help carry our burdens. But particularly we do need pastors and elders to be overseers. The Greek word there for overseer is episkopos. And we get our English word for scoping something out. So it's scoping something out by looking around or looking over is what that episkopos means. To be Episcopalian, but it's not to say that we're going to have bishops out there that might visit us once a year. No, it says verse 2, the flock of God which is among you. It's talking to the elders. So the elders have to be among you. The elders have to come from among you. And so they're one of you and they know you, and yet they're charged with caring for shepherding the flock, especially for the pastor shepherds. And so they serve as examples, not as Lord and masters, not to, and there are mercenary preachers out there that want to fleece the flock and tickle the ears, and then they can, they do it for their own pockets and not for the Lord Christ, not for the chief shepherd. But in God's design, he says, The sheep do need overseers. They need examples of leadership, of how to walk the Christian life, examples of maturity. And your church has been blessed with that for a good number of years. I've known your pastor for close to 30 years, I think. And he used to take me to lunch when he wasn't so busy, but I'm happy to see that he's busy now, and happy that you're give him a break so that he can go be with family like today. Christ Church is a loving relationship between Christ and His people. Verse 2 says that the leaders should shepherd the flock of God, serving. And so it's a service kind of thing. It's not a do as I say or else situation, but it's serving as examples to the flock. And there should be this this mutual love and respect between pastor and people. Everybody, all within the congregation, eat from the same flock, from the same pastor is what I meant to say, and we all move in the same direction. And so we keep each other warm, and the last thought is that from verse 1 and verse 4, talk about all going the same direction. We're all on the path to glory. Verse 1 has this interesting little phrase here, right at the end of verse 1 of chapter 5. Peter was a witness to the sufferings of Christ. He was willing, therefore, to suffer for Christ. But he says, "And I will also be a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." Verse 4 also, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Peter had seen the down payment of the glory of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he talks about that transfiguration in 2 Peter chapter 1. But here he says, glory is going to be revealed. And all through the chapter 4 he says, you're suffering as Christians, don't forget glory. And you're just sheep, don't forget glory. Because I've seen the resurrected Christ. I've seen the down payment of his glory and his majesty, where he outshone the sun on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says Christ is going to share that with you in the day of glory, when Christ takes us to himself. He's going to share, we will share in his glory. That's when the flock will be gathered to the new heaven and new earth. That's going to be a time when all the wrongs and all the hurts of this life are going to be made right. And we will be made partakers of the heavenly glory. But if we're partakers of the heavenly glory, then we need glorious bodies. And that's what's promised to us. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Beautiful picture of Romans 8 and that chain of foreknown and justified and glorified. That's what we're looking for. And so we're not distracted or dazzled by fads that come and go in the world. But we are enraptured by the thought of seeing Christ in his beauty. And when we see him, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is. Right now, there are wolves that come and want to steal a lamb, steal a sheep. Right now, there's disease and death in the flock. But then in glory, no more death, no more dying, no more sighing. There's light, there's green pastures, and there are still waters. And more than that, it'll be the great shepherd forever, the chief shepherd, who's going to give a crown of glory to all those who are faithful and trust the Lord. Well, I thank God for your congregation and for your dear pastor and your elders who lead you and keep you on the path of life and the way of grace. And that way is really the way that leads us to know, to follow, and to love the chief shepherd of the sheep. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, so that we may do His will. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.